My brothers and sisters, have you ever wondered just how much did the apostles actually grasp the mysteries that had been entrusted to them? How deep was their knowledge of the faith? Up until a couple of years ago, I was of the opinion, my understanding was that they were at the very beginning, right? They'd been given this tremendous amount of knowledge, but they would have had a semi-deep understanding of this. And we, over the course of centuries, we would add to it. We would build upon it. We would develop the thought of the apostles. And a couple of years ago, I found out that I was totally wrong. What do we believe about the apostles? We believe that they had a supreme and exceptional knowledge of the mysteries of Christ. We believe that the knowledge that the apostles possessed surpassed anything that the church would ever come to over the course of all centuries till the end of time. The church will never attain to the degree of knowledge that the apostles themselves possessed. So it's not that we add to their thought or build upon their thought. We unfold the thought of the apostles. We enter into it. Because what did our Lord say to the apostles on this occasion? When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you to all truth. Every single one of the apostles would have come to all the truth that our Lord Jesus Christ wanted His disciples to know. And so how do we see this? What are the most recent magisterial proclamations in the last couple of centuries? When did the church proclaim the dogma of the Immaculate Conception? What year did that take place? In 1854. So 1800 years after our Lord died, the church says, hey, guess what? We believe that Mary was immaculately conceived. And sometimes people read that and say, oh my gosh, right? Where'd you pull that one out of? If you read the document, and it's a short one, it's only about 10 pages, and it's a worthwhile read, the Holy Father who wrote it, do you know what he says right at the beginning? The church has always believed this truth. Now, why is he only proclaiming it 800 years later? Did you know that the church has never proclaimed definitively, no pope has ever come out and said, we believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Why not? Well, because we all believe that, of course. Could you imagine if Pope Francis tomorrow comes out and writes a letter to every single one of us and says, hey, I want to let you know we believe Jesus rose from the dead. You'd say, yeah, that's what I've lived my whole life. I wouldn't have bought into this in the first place. There are many truths that we believe that the church has never proclaimed because we believe them. They've always been believed. And that is true of the Immaculate Conception. So when the Holy Father comes out and proclaims that, it's because over the course of centuries, as we distance from the life of the apostles, from the life of our Lord, people fall into error, or they go astray, or maybe certain truths aren't handed on, and so the church needs to come out and reiterate, or clarify, this is what we believe. In what year did the church proclaim the dogma of the assumption of our Blessed Mother Mary into heaven, body and soul? 1950. How long has the church believed that Our Lady was assumed body and soul into heaven? Since the apostles watched it happen. If not all of them, most likely at least those who are alive would want to be at their spiritual mother's passing, or at the very minimum, John himself. Everything we believe is apostolic. It comes from the apostles. You know, sometimes even like modern day issues in regards to morality, you know, issues like abortion, or same-sex unions, or contraception, where do those teachings of the church come from? You can find them all the way back in apostolic teaching. Because what happens if the church breaks from the apostles? We break from our Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, whom He promised would lead the apostles into the fullness of the truth. And my brothers and sisters, what is the most important and the most fundamental mystery that the apostles handed on to every single one of us? It is the mystery of the most holy Trinity. It is the mystery that is at the heart of our faith that distinguishes us from every other religion in the world. That we believe that God is a Trinity of persons. A communion of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is what makes one most fundamentally a Christian. So a couple of days ago, and any of you who were here last weekend at the masses that I preached heard me speak of this. On Friday afternoon, I baptized and confirmed a man who is between 65 and 70 years old. And it's one of the most beautiful experiences I've ever had as a priest. I had met him just a week before for the first time in the hospital. He's a man who grew up with no faith whatsoever, but he had a few family members who had become Catholic over the course of decades, though he had never embraced the faith. And his understanding of the faith is so very limited. But when I visited him in the hospital, after a little bit of time speaking, he says, "Father, I would like to be baptized." Now, if I asked that man, "Explain to me the mystery of the Eucharist," he would have absolutely no idea. He could not tell me what we believe. If I told him, what do Catholics believe about the sacrament of confession? He wouldn't know. Or about angels or saints. When I baptized him, he had to answer three questions. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? Do you believe that he has a son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who came as Lord and Savior? Do you believe there is a Holy Spirit who shares life with them, who comes to set us free from sins so that we might share in that divine life? Do you believe in the Holy Trinity? That's all the faith that man had to profess. Because that is the seed from which our entire faith grows. Now, he didn't have to say if there was a miraculous recovery, he would do his best to learn all the rest that we believe. But he at least had to say that in order to be baptized. I want to close with this. St. Catherine of Siena, she used to hear the voice of God the Father in her heart. And one time God the Father asked her, he said, "Do you know what the souls in heaven do above all else?" He says, "The love with which they loved their loved ones on earth does not cease when they pass from this life. They carry that love with them into heaven. And what they want above all else is for their loved ones to share in the joy that they now possess in heaven. So their primary obligation is to pray for their loved ones on earth." St. Teresa of Avila, one time in her convent, a young boy appeared. Suddenly walked in the room, she looks at him thinking, "How did this kid get in the monastery?" Right, the doors are locked, this is a cloistered convent. He walks up to her and he says, "Sister, what is your name?" And she said, "I am Teresa of Jesus," her consecrated name. She says, "Little boy, may I ask you your name?" He said, "I am Jesus of Teresa." And he vanished. Our Lord Jesus Christ appearing to her as a young boy. Maybe many of you know about St. Philip Neri, how he used to pass his nights in the catacombs praying to the Holy Spirit. And on one occasion, the Holy Spirit appeared to him as a flaming ball of white fire, a furnace of fire, and came and lodged himself in St. Philip's heart. And for the rest of his life, St. Philip had these extraordinary gifts of the Holy Spirit. We believe that God is a Trinity of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as persons, that everyone has a distinct personality, that we can enter into a relationship with each of the persons of the Holy Trinity. And sometimes I'll talk to people, I'll meet people, and they say, "Father, gosh, I almost always only pray to God the Father. Or Father, I only really have a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ." We ought to have a profound relationship with each person of the Holy Trinity. God desires that. It's a grace for which we ought to ask, but also something that we should nourish in our own personal prayer lives. To spend time praying to each person of the Holy Trinity, to get to know them, in preparation to spend all eternity with them.